This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I had several conversations with the guys. I always meet with a debrief after the game. We talked about the game, talked about, you know, decisions that were made, plays that were made, plays that weren't made. And we talked about, you know, the whole game. So again, I'll meet with those guys later on this afternoon, but just a normal operation that we always have post game.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Brody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Bears head coach Matt Eberflus in the 9 a.m. hour prior to being fired as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Yeah, it is Mark Brody and Gabe Ramirez. We're broadcasting live from Rally House in Wrigleyville. Come on and join us. Say hello before the Illinois Northwestern game coming up at 11 o'clock across the street at Wrigley Field. You can enter to win a $25 gift card for Rally House, which is awesome. This is a must-stop shop location for all of your Illinois and Northwestern gear before the game. A couple of notes here before we bring in James Big Cat Williams. Inside the Clubhouse will return next week, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. with that's right. The Brewster will be back. Make no mistake about it.
Fired up and ready to go.
That's right. With all the big name free agent signings that won't happen here in the city of Chicago. So Bruce is back next week, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. with Inside the Clubhouse. A couple other things. Number 2 Ohio State takes on Michigan today as they, Gabe, close your ears, renew their Big Ten rivalry. Kickoff is coming up at 11 a.m. on The Score and the Odyssey app. And here's another little extra treat. We're keeping the Bears talk, the live and localness of it all. We're keeping it cooking with our guy, Mike Esposito. Espo, will be on from 2:30 until 5 o'clock this afternoon, and he will be talking pure Bears. I know Espo is a big Bears fan, and he has covered many a Bears games in his life, has been in the Bears locker room many times through many regimes, so he will take you with all the Bears talk from 2:30 until 5 o'clock. Joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is indeed the former Bears offensive lineman, James Big Cat Williams. Download the Circa Sports app today. James Big Cat Williams, what's going on, man? Thanks for being on with us this morning.
What's going on, fellas? A lot going on in Chicago right now.
Is there, James? Is there? I don't know what's happening right here. It seems almost what some people would see, but would say, James, is unbelievable. I feel like a lot of us have been getting text messages, regardless of what profession you're in. If you're just in the Chicagoland area, everyone has been inundated with this conversation. What if the conversations in your group chats, or maybe your house with your family? I've hung out with you and seen the kids a couple times, James. So what have those conversations been like?
Yeah, being a former player and looking at this from the outside looking in, it's very shocking. Because we've never seen anything like this happen before. But it was due. I think it is hopefully a sign that the organization upstairs is, you know, moving in a better direction. So, you know, that's what we've got to hope for right now. So, I mean, you know, I've got friends calling from all over the place, and, you know, they have been for the last several weeks. You know, what's going on in Chicago? You know, are they burning the bridges down there? So, you know, everybody wants to know what's going on, and we're just waiting to see right now. You know, you got five more games left in the season, so you have to see what comes from all this.
Yeah, I mean, we're all anxiously awaiting. We'll probably get a little more clarity on everything on Monday for sure. But I actually want to back it up with you too here, James. What was your reaction watching the game when it was all happening in the final 32 seconds of the game?
It was crazy because, you know, you're watching the Bears move down the field, position themselves for either a game-winning touchdown or a game-tying field goal against a team that you thought they had no chance of even being in the game. You know, you sit around and you look, and for the game to be as close as it was, you know, a testament to some of the things that they did during the game. A testament to the young quarterback being able to move the team down the field in certain situations. But then you look at that last 32 seconds and you just realize it was totally foobarred. You know, you run what looks like a draw play. Quarterback gets hit. You have players that aren't able to get lined up. They don't call the timeout. You don't understand why they call the timeout. You know, everybody in my house is yelling, call timeout. What are they doing? You know, what's going on? And then the next thing you know, all the time's gone. Everybody's looking at the TV like, there's no way it can be over yet. This can't be how it ends. But, yeah, that's the way it ends. And it's just another thing on the list, a very long list of, you know, disappointing, unexplainable, you know, unfathomable losses.
James, I mean, when you're talking about it, I mean, it can hear the pain in your voice, not only as a fan, but as a former player, right? Understanding that in that moment, you feel as though you did as much as you could do. And then there are certain situations where the coaching staff has to step up. I mean, you heard Keenan Allen say we felt as though we did everything as players to win this game. And now, and you've dealt with a number of coaches in your day as a member of the Chicago Bears and having to deal with new ones as they come in, Coach Wanstead, Coach Duran. You know, what is that like for a team? You know, obviously you never dealt with a coaching change in the middle of a season, but in an off season where maybe you've had a couple days, right? These guys are going to be off from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, having to come back in Monday. Obviously there's people talking about it. You know, what is that like when, you know, you are understanding and have the knowledge that you are going to be having a new coach? And then what is that like when the new coach comes into a situation where players have already been established?
See, for me, I think my situation was a little different because, as you know, I was a free agent, you know, when I came to the Bears. So during coaching changes, you kind of go into self-preservation. You go into, I have to make sure that I'm, you know, crossing my T's, dotting my I's. And, you know, even though I was never on a team where we got rid of a coach during the season, I was on teams that you knew a new coach was coming in at the end of a season. So, you know, the signs were there at the end of the season. You know that you're not only putting your talents on display for the next coach that's coming in, but you're putting your talents on display for the other teams in the league, for those other 31 teams. You are putting yourself, this is now part of your resume. As NFL players always say, or as players always say, whenever you're on the field, you're on camera. You know, they are looking at what you do. They're watching how you practice. They're watching how you work out. They're looking to see if, you know, you start to lag. And, you know, that was one of the things that was hard for me during this season that has been hard for me is, you know, all the stuff that comes out of the locker room. Yeah, we know you're having problems. We know things aren't right in the locker room the way they are supposed to be. But those are some, you know, to an old guy like me, it's stuff that we have to deal with in-house. So putting it out in the media and trying to get the media involved with it, you know, they're going to just, and I'm speaking as a player, but they're just going to grab it and they're going to run with it and they're going to take it in 900 different directions. So these are things that you have to try and clean up in-house. But, yeah, I mean, it's a load on your mind because you know changes are about to come at some point in time, and I can only imagine what it's like during the season. But yeah, self-preservation is going to be top of mind for a lot of these players, as well as a lot of these coaches that are now being looked at.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's human. Like, if we had a new boss, we're all looking for the angle, and we all wonder what it might mean for us. So that is great insight,
right?
And I totally get where you're coming from. I also do understand with you, and I think that most players around the league and coaches and former coaches and former players like yourself are a bit, including Olin Krutz, like befuddled by all of the players speaking out. Now, from our perspective and my perspective, since I'm a beat reporter, we love it. We love that the players are being transparent, so we don't have to go out and, you know, try to make stuff up and, you know, stir it up. The players are telling us what's going on. I think part of this, though, is on the Bears. I don't know, James Big Cat Williams, have you ever been on a team or seen a team that had eight captains? When you empower eight guys in your locker room, what do you expect? I mean, these are all different personalities who their job, part of being a captain on a team, is to deal with us, deal with the media. They were probably empowered, and again, I like it, they were probably empowered a little bit too much. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think you have to be careful of who you choose to make the representative of your team. I mean, it's not always the most popular guy. It's not always, you know, the guy that's making the most money. It is the control. Being a leader in a locker room is a very difficult thing because you're dealing with so many different A personalities. It's hard. I mean, you have to know how to manage each different individual, whether that means going off on somebody or pulling somebody off to the side and sitting down and talking to them. You know, it's almost, you know, you always hear about player coaches. When you're a captain, you're almost a player coach because your job is to, in a sense, diffuse things, smaller things that don't have to go to the head coach. You know, these are things that we can deal with in the locker room, things that we can handle, we'll take care of, and they should not ever have to make it upstairs or to the media. So, you know, hearing all the things that came out, hearing, like you said, all the individuals that are captains of this team, it's just a lot. You need a couple solid individuals that know what they're doing, that are, and you don't have to be the most boisterous guy. You can lead by example. You know, I don't need you to come out and tell the world all of our problems. I need you to help us solve these problems in the locker room, whether that means an extra meeting after lunch where the entire O-line gets together, we sit down, we eat lunch, and we watch film together. Does that help us make help make us better? You know, is it going out on the field, you know, between meetings as a group and walking through stuff so that you can visually see it? I mean, you have to learn how, you know, each individual group is adapted learning, and you have to take it to the next step. So, you know, that's kind of the captain's job, to keep things moving.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that and break that down that way, James, because there are small things you can do as a captain to kind of keep your team together that doesn't involve maybe, you know, bringing down your team with your words as a result of it. Someone who has been very outspoken, Cole Kmet, talking about this squad, and he mentioned at one point, James, that he and TJ Edwards were having a conversation, guys that are from Chicago, and saying, like, damn, we're on the team and we don't even know what's going on when it comes to the lack of success for the Chicago Bears. You, as someone who's in the area, someone who's played on the team, what do you think it is when you could point to something, when you look at the inability for the Bears to have consistent success? What is that one thing for you now that you've played, you've had the opportunity to be a fan on the opposite side? Well, what is that for you?
Well, I think when you're, you know, now we're talking about the whole organization. You know, I listened to the post and pregame show with Olin, Pat, and Mully, and one of the consistencies is the locker room and the, you know, environment in it is not going to be right until the upstairs is taken care of. You know, you bring in new people, you've brought in Poles, you've brought in Warren, you have these new guys, and now you need to see change. You need to see that the organization is not being run the same way. I think the firing of Eberflus during the season is a sign of change. Now we just have to hope that it is good change, because, you know, we're, even though they've gone ahead and they've done this, they fired a coach in season, we still have to see what the process is as far as bringing a new head coach in. You know, you still have, basically, other than Warren, you have the same people in these meetings bringing a new coach in that you had last time. And you see, and we've gotten rid of three coaches in the last, I mean, how many months? You know, so it's a situation where I look at it and my fingers are crossed that things have changed for a positive.
Do you think it needs to go higher than Matt Eberflus? Like, do you think, how much culpability should there be for Ryan Poles and everything that has gone on? In other words, do you still support him as the GM, or do they need to take a long look at his job as well?
No, I think Poles has done, I think he's done some good things. You know, anytime you have on your resume where, you know, your first time, your offensive coordinator is fired halfway through the season, you know, your passing coordinator is moved up to offensive coordinator, things look a little better, but, you know, you're still on the downside. You know, you've got to find a way to get back up. You need to find a way to get up. And I think that's the whole atmosphere has to be intact. It has to be from the players in the locker room to everybody upstairs on the second floor, you know, the open door policies, all these things you hear about, the collaborations, everything has to be in lockstep with one another. And that starts at the top and works its way down. So, yes, you know, knowing that things have to be right up top in order for the locker room, the coaches, and everything below it to be in a stable and workable position.
All right, James, I got to ask you and just change the conversation a bit and talk about the offensive line of the Chicago Bears. I mean, obviously, you know, you played a big part in that in the organization for years. I want to talk about first consistency on the offensive line, right? It's one thing for us as analysts to get out there and say, hey, you got to have consistency. I feel like for me, sometimes I think it's analysts speak. You got to know about the guy next to you. But I didn't play the position. I didn't talk to an offensive lineman about what he thinks. I want you first answer how important that is, and is there that level of seriousness when it comes to that statement, the consistency on the O-line to, you know, have where with all of what people are going to be doing to the left and to the right of you. And then the follow-up to that is, what would you like to see happen to this offensive line specifically in the offseason?
When you talk about offensive line play, yes, Gabe, you always hear about people talking about the importance of guys having the opportunity to play together. And I think you see a great example of that here in Chicago right now, because when you talk about a team that has not won on the road, it's when I look at it as an offensive lineman, it's an offensive line that is having problems communicating, that is having problems not knowing what the guy next to him is doing. And that is what they talk about when they're saying the advantage of playing with a line for several years. I don't exactly have to know what you call. I know what you see. And if you see the same thing that I see, then we should be on the same page. I was on with Dan and Layla a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that we talked about that I told them was, you know, it's kind of like watching the Chiefs play when you watch Mahomes and Kelce play, because they're both on the same page. You know, he knows when he's going to break left. He knows when he's going to break right. Every once in a while, you see him have a miscommunication, but they are so in lockstep. And to put that in lineman terms, you know, if myself as a right tackle and my right guard have a three technique that we have to block and a power, then we know exactly who we're blocking and we know exactly who we have to go to. Now, if we can communicate it, we will. But through our film study, through our working together over, you know, multiple games, multiple snaps in practice, if we are seeing the same thing, then that lack of communication shouldn't hurt us. That last-minute movement from that three technique to a head-up technique or to an inside technique on the guard, now he knows exactly what he's going to do. I know exactly what he's going to do, and I know exactly where both of us have to be. You know, it's all about being in the right place at the right time and being able to execute what you're supposed to execute. So the longer you've been working together, the easier those things become because of the less communication that you and those individuals with you need. So that helps an offensive line mold together to be able to see what's going on, whether it be, you know, a run blocking to get to your assignment, whether it be pass blocking to see a guy coming off the edge. You know, can I see it at the same time that my right guard, my center, can I see it at the same time that those guys see it? And now we can all adjust to it. We're all on the same page. We're all doing the same thing. And, you know, it looks pretty sweet when it all works out. But when it doesn't work out, you get what we've gotten for a couple weeks now.
Right, Grody. It's kind of like, you know, the consistency and the play together leaves less room for error.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. James Big Cat Williams, you are the best. Thank you for coming on with us and providing some valuable insight. And look forward to hearing you on the Score more frequently as we go on here, man. Thank you.
Hey, man. You guys take it easy and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Enjoy the holiday weekend, James. That was great.
Yeah. No, really good stuff. And like the self-preservation part really hit me because it's true. It's true.
It's relatable.
It's all very relatable. Yes, and all these players. Now things are going to change. And honestly, like I completely disagreed with James Big Cat Williams on basically saying, telling the players to shut up because of what I do.
No, like, wait, that makes my job harder. Hold
yeah, it does, second. But no, he of course is right. He probably is right, but look, man.
I mean, if you're looking for telltale signs of a crumbling locker room, you know, being too vocal with the media is certainly at the top of the list.
Yeah, and it had to happen because it was sort of a collective cry for help, and we are, as the media, in some ways, the conduit to that.
Who was the what was the first domino in your mind?
Mercedes Lewis, who
the wily veteran that they brought back to.
Well, because of what he said about Shane Waldron and essentially saying that he needs to coach hard enough, more authoritative, and all that. That was like, okay. And then on the way out the door,
Shane Waldron's like, "Damn it, we shouldn't have re-signed you. Well, damn it, we shouldn't have gave you that money.
Well, yeah,
then, I didn't need another blocking tight end."
And then on his way out the door, Keenan Allen basically saying, "Yeah, he was too soft." And then, man, dude, in that Bears locker room after this Detroit loss, and you know, Keenan Allen saying that, you know, the players did everything possible to win the game, which is basically saying the coaches are the ones that screwed it up. And then just straight up, when I asked Keenan Allen, I said, "Are you surprised that they didn't call a timeout after Caleb was sacked?" Yes. Oh, no other explanation. Just yes.
He didn't say. Yeah.
No, but there was no, well, yeah, maybe we should have. It was just, yes. Yes. I'm surprised that there was not a timeout call. When we return, I want to ask you, Gabe, a question about Caleb Williams. I still got to add another name or two to the potential coaching list. And definitely we will take some more of your calls. So this would be a good time to get in. We've only got a short while left here before we get out of here.
This is a fast show.
It has been a really fast show. We've got number 2 Ohio State taking on Michigan today as they do renew their Big Ten rivalry. Kickoff is at 11 on the Score and on the Odyssey app. And then from 2:30 until 5 o'clock, Mike Esposito will be talking Bears here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome back in, live from the Rally House at 1027 West Addison. Indeed, Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez. Gabe, what you got over there, man?
So, Jonathan Jones just tweeting out a statement from Matt Eberflus one day after his firing. I'd love to read it if that's okay.
I would love that.
sight reading, like you mentioned,
that's right.
Just seeing it for the first time. It says, I would like to thank the McCaskey family and Ryan Poles for the opportunity to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to the players for all their effort, dedication, and resilience in every situation, practice, games, and especially in the face of adversity. You stayed together and gave great effort for your team and each other. What I'm most proud of, this is a statement from Coach Eberflus, was the way you carried yourself both on and off the field and represented the Bears organization with class in the community. To the fans, thank you for your support and passion. I will always have a deep appreciation for the Bears organization and the city of Chicago. Signed, Matt Eberflus.
Matt Eberflus. All right, that's a good statement from him, and I do hope that, and I assume he probably will land another job in the NFL as a defensive coordinator or, you know, an assistant in some capacity like that. So I don't know that he's a guy that's going to get another crack at a head coaching job. But of course, as a human being, I wish the best of him. He was always good to the media. He put up with all of our questions, and a lot of our questions were very difficult because while he was here, you were going through some of those records a little bit earlier with past head coaches, recent history, there was not a lot of winning with Matt Eberflus. So most of the questions that we had to ask him were difficult questions, and he took it all in stride.
14-32 is the head coach of the Chicago Bears. John Fox, 14-34. Mark Trestman, 13-19. One win under Coach Eberflus. But I think you make a statement like that, girl. I do feel as though he'll get another head coaching job.
Really?
I do.
And why? After all these mistakes?
No, because I think about Luke Getsy, and I think to myself, I couldn't believe he was given another job. Cannot say that about Flus, because I thought that about Luke Getsy, and I could not believe that somebody gave him another job.
This is head coach. That's offensive coordinator. And, well, I guess you could look at it and say, was it the Bears that screwed up Matt Eberflus? Was it the Bears that screwed up Luke Getsy?
But what if there's another – here's the team that I see him coaching for, right? Not a Super Bowl contender in the present. I see him coaching – I see him being Rossi, right? Like, they bring you in to coach the young guys and tear down the team kind of hold
like
on to it.
Horrible idea. It sounds
like a job.
You want Matt Eberflus' hands? See, you're putting me in a spot here now where I got to rip Matt Eberflus again. You want Matt Eberflus to have his hands on young players at this point, young developing players? I mean, I'm all for Matt Eberflus as a defensive coordinator.
Did Mike Tomlin develop Justin Fields?
Not really, but you're really going to do that? You're going to go Mike Tomlin? You're going to go to the top of the heap on me?
Okay, fine. Maybe I'm being too nice.
Take it back now.
I'm being too nice. Let me throw the word maybe in front of it.
Okay.
Maybe he'll be a head coach sometimes. Can I say that?
First,
he will 1,000% be a defensive coordinator somewhere.
I think that is definitely in the cards for Matt Eberflus. I mean, it's all about relationships, too. I mean, he's been around a long time, knows a ton of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he will land another coordinator position down the road. I guess it won't rule. I mean, if he has a dominant defense, he'll maybe get a sniff. But it's really hard, Gabe, we could just look at this game on Thanksgiving Day, where, as you mentioned earlier, the national broadcasters were being borderline vicious. Coaches, straight up. So that stuff does not get forgotten.
All right, let's we're talking about records of coaches, right?
Okay, Bears.
You're saying Eberflus will not get a head coaching job again.
That is correct.
Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy, I believe that Matt Nagy
will at some point get another head coach.
Look at me. I think he will succeed Andy Reid.
Really?
That's always been my theory, because they love him in Kansas City. That's like home for him. Come on back home. We know that you were done dirty by the Bears. Come on home. We got you taken care of. So, yeah, I do think Matt Nagy gets another head coaching
job. Andy Reid rehired him because he was the one that said it was the best head coaching candidate that ever existed coaching tree.
Thank you.
And so he wanted to make good on that and do that. John Fox never a head coaching job after the Bears. I'm trying to prove a point here, what we're doing here.
I feel you. Okay.
No Matt Eberflus job, no Matt Nagy job, no John Fox job, no Mark Trestman job, who is the passing game coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. Don't forget that. So he has he has his hands on Lamar Jackson. Lovie Smith did get a head coaching job again.
He did, Tampa Bay.
And the Texans, Bears.
That's right. I almost forgot about the Texans.
Dick Duron
did get another head coaching job.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. I do believe so. Am I wrong about that? I think he did. Didn't he run Ooh. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was the head coach. Yes, thank you, Patrick, from Gage Park. That's our guy. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was the coordinator, too. Yeah, Dick Duron did just fine. Dave Wanstead.
He coached the Cowboys, right?
He was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, Dolphins, sorry.
That was the job. Jimmy Johnson said, I'm done. Here you go, Dave. Here's the job. I mean, you know, Dave obviously was a head coach in college, too, at Pitt. So there was some – Mike Ditka went on to coach the New Orleans Saints. But that was it for him. So, yeah, there are former Bears head coaches.
So for my example, the last four coaches the Bears have had – have not been head coaches afterwards.
Yeah, and but you, okay, your prediction stands. Gabe Ramirez says that next year.
Head coach of the Chicago Bears, rehired.
That would be wild.
Give me a percentage, 1 to 100, ooh, that Thomas Brown becomes the head coach of the Chicago Bears next year.
Ooh, I'm going to say 16%, which I think is generous, man.
I think that's very generous.
16%. Well, okay, what's your percentage then?
My real percentage, zero.
Zero, okay. No, that's
zero. Fair. My real percentage is zero.
Okay, I was
But you have a short list. Are we supposed to get something else?
We're supposed to take a break right now, apparently. That's what Ray Diaz, he wants to ruin the fun. That's what he's doing. He's you guys need to shut up and take a break. No, Ray Diaz.
Do we have to play the Illinois versus Northwestern?
Yeah.
Or Ohio State, Michigan game?
The Ohio State, Michigan, yes, that is the game. Yeah, but don't worry. Bears Talk returns at 2:30 with Mike Esposito.
Espo!
Yeah, baby. Lots of thank yous, too. Just while we're here, we got 20 minutes to go, but thank you to Ray Diaz. Thank you to Rich Wyatt. Thank you to you, Gabe Ramirez.
Thank you to Mark Grody.
We've got Eric and Sergio out here doing an unbelievable job. Patrick from Gage Park is out here. Absolutely. And all the people that have dropped in as well. And Tyler Farengol is doing awesome work. What's up, Grody? Hey, man. No, really, doing great work back in our downtown Chicago studios. We'll take a break. If you're on hold right now, we'll try to get to a couple of your calls when we return. I still got a Caleb Williams question that I want to ask you too here. We are live from the Rally House at 1027 West Addison in Chicago on The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
What's up? We got a short while left here on the show before we turn it over to Ohio State, Michigan. Gabe and I are broadcasting live from the Rally House at 1027 West Addison. Come on in. They have everything here. And come join us. Say hello before the Illinois Northwestern game coming up at 11. We're right across the street from Wrigley Field. And there is still time to enter to win a $25 gift card for Rally House. This is a must-stop shop location for all of your Illinois and Northwestern gear before the game.
One of my old bosses used to get so upset at a co-host of mine because they referred to – you ever heard of Pentatonics? The vocal group, the acapella group,
no,
Pentatonics?
I have not. No? Is that one guy from The Office in that?
So he would get so mad because my co-host would call him The Pentatonics.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he'd be like, dude, they're not The Pentatonics. He's like, but if I'm talking about The Pentatonics, and he's like, it's not that. That's not what it is. I think we're at Rally House, and I think I've been getting triggered by you saying the Rally House.
Oh, man.
And so I've been thinking about it all show, and I was waiting to the end.
And it does say right there, it does not, there's no the.
No the. But so people could be getting confused out there, Grody, showing up to the Rally House.
Where is this Rally House that Grody is talking about?
But the argument my friend would make would be, if you're telling somebody, where is the Rally House?
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you that's see? Okay.
No, because you say, where is Rally House? And you don't omit the. Okay. That would be the counter
argument. Well, okay, if you're going to do this, hold on a second. If you're going to pull this on me,
I knew you're gonna
if you're going to pull this on me, I'm going to read a text message that I received earlier in regards to Gabe Ramirez. Oh, this is not the direction I was going.
Can this wait 6 minutes before we get off the air?
Nope. Here it is. This is from my buddy Daryl, okay?
He says, why are we doing this?
Because we're doing this. Because you took a shot at me. You had.
I did not. I let you do it the whole show.
I know.
Show.
So that's even worse. You let me screw up the name for 3 hours.
Hey, did you know Matt Eberflus got fired? Did you hear about
this? Hey, Mark. You might want to tell Gabe the 2005 Sox were actually the flash in the pan. I believe you were there. That's talking to me. And I was twice a week on my day off and always said the team got lucky and everything went right that year. That's because you were slamming the Cubs earlier. Flash in the pan.
If Daryl was paying attention, he would have heard that I started the story.
Don't you talk to Daryl like that.
By saying, my cousin said that the White Sox were flash in the pan, and I've realized
Cousin. Way to throw your cousin under the bus.
Hey, if you want to point out that your friends don't listen on the radio by reading their text messages, that's you not being a good friend, my bro.
How about Farrengold, bring me Wayne from West Lafayette to break this fight up. Bring me Wayne, because I know Wayne's on my side.
Grody man, Gabe, how's it going? How's it going, my friend?
What's up, buddy?
Sure, great to meet you over there at Four Winds and Dave Wansett. What a great night, man.
Yeah, that was fun,
unbelievable, man. It was. Yeah. I've got some pictures coming to you here before long. They're going to be famous pictures someday. Yeah, you betcha.
Sick. Nice.
You betcha. Thanks for the call, Wayne.
But hey, I was going to say, I'll bet Gabe won money on. I'll bet he bet this is the week that Flus got fired. I bet he made money on it.
Well, yeah, no, he made money betting against the Cubs all year, too. So that's the way Gabe
rolls. That's a good bet.
Hey, Grody, is there going to be some really good coach, you think, just because they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, get fired, that we could maybe get after the season's over?
Honestly, Wayne, history says no. The answer is no, that they're not going to get some great head coach. But who knows? I mean, we didn't think the Bears would ever have a quarterback, but it appears now that the Bears at least have a quarterback. Wayne, thank you so much for the call, man. We appreciate you so much. I always love talking to my guy, Wayne. Here's my question,
If Nick Sirianni makes it to the Super Bowl and they lose?
Oh, man. You think he could get canned?
I mean,
they win the Super Bowl or bust
for
him?
They've had conversations about it. I mean, what if it ends a way in which they say, this isn't the guy to get us over the hump?
Well, didn't he get in a fight with the fans? I mean, like, at some point.
He's a fiery guy.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be acceptable out at Halas Hall. But let me ask you this question about Caleb Williams. Do you think he should have say in who the next offensive coordinator is, at the very least, and approval on the head coach? Do you think they should at least
say,
do the courtesy of coming to him and saying, what do you think about this guy? Or does he not acquire that power yet?
Say yes. You know, overall, veto power, no.
You're right.
You want to consult him. But I think the decision, the end-all, be-all, should be something. Hopefully it's not a collaborative effort between Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. It's just Ryan Poles picking his guy. But I think Ryan Poles has to do his due diligence to speak to his quarterback about it, but ultimately not let him make the final decision on what.
I agree with you. I mean, it looks like Caleb's going to be good, but I don't think he has warranted that kind of power as of yet. I think he should definitely be you know, told everything that is happening in the process, because he is your most important player, and there's done some elite things. Bring me Matthew from the West Side here to close this thing out. What's up, Matthew? You're on the score.
Hey, G&G, how's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, you need to take it easy on Gabe. You're the guy that almost got ran over by a lawnmower, so take it easy, okay? We Sox fans.
I did. That was at Halas Hall. Yes, they were coming at me, though, man. I had a Toro full blaze, 30 miles per hour, coming at me during, I think it was on, it was on the Bernstein and Holmes show. Yes, Bernstein and Holmes show, led by our guy Ray Diaz. You're right. Really quick. You got like 30 seconds, man, to make a point, other than ripping me.
I got you. All right. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Number one, real quick, is Thomas Brown going to be on the sidelines now? And who's going to be the new offensive coordinator? And then real quick, number three, I want you guys to answer this for me. Why was no one on the staff or the players next to Eberflus or the ref when the time was running out, being like, hey, coach, call a timeout. What are you doing? We're about to lose. Hey, coach, what are you doing? Nobody was there next to him. He just walked up the field by himself with his bug eyes. That's it. That's all I got for y'all. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, I mean, there are people that assist him in that area. I felt like nobody really knew what was going on the sideline. What else did he want to know? Do you remember what else?
Thomas Brown going to be on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah, he will be. Yes. According to reports, he will be on the sidelines. He will still be calling plays, which is good, because it would mean that, in theory, Caleb Williams could be going on a fourth play caller to begin next season. Gabe, this was a blast, man. I appreciate working with you, as always. Thank you to Ray Diaz. Thank you to Rich Wyatt. Thanks to Eric and Sergio and Tyler Farrengold. Thanks to everybody who stopped in at Rally House today. Not the Rally House. Thanks to the calls the texters. We appreciate you. Enjoy the game coming up next on The Score, Ohio State and Michigan. And so for my guy Gabe Ramirez, I am Mark Rohde. Talk to you guys later on The Score.